Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. Objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
Hello, Chicago. Hope you all having a great weekend. So, last week, we talked about youth unemployment, the horrific numbers. I mean, just horrific numbers, particularly in Chicago. But really, all over the country, the number of young people who would like to work, who, if given the option, would work, and who are not, who can't find a job, who, that job doesn't exist for them, and therefore never allowed that first rung on the ladder of success. They're denied opportunities in the land of opportunity. Their futures are destroyed by not being able to get that first job. It's all about getting that first job, learning certain skills, and then using that to leverage oneself into a better job and a better job. Most people who start out on minimum wage don't last 12 months in minimum wage. They get raises because their productivity goes up almost immediately. Just showing up on time, just learning the basic skills of working at cashier, just dealing with customers. We deny that of our young. We deny that of our young for a variety. There are a variety of causes for this, but it is truly horrific. And to add on to this, this week, a new study came out. Oh, I guess it's a government report that said that wages in this country are stagnating. That this last quarter, wages were basically flat. They went up a tiny little bit, way below expectations, given how low they claim unemployment rate is. So we've got very high youth unemployment. And for the rest of us, we might be employed, but wages are just not budging, just not moving. So I want to talk about those two issues today. They're related. Last time we talked about youth unemployment in the context of minimum wage. And I explained, I was patient, I really tried to explain how minimum wage creates youth unemployment. How with minimum wage, and the higher the minimum wage is, the more youth unemployment we will have. I know Chicago has raised the minimum wage. It's slowly increasing to $13 an hour. I think it just went up to $10 this summer. And you can expect everything else held constant. That is, there's lots of other stuff going on in the economy that determine these things. But just the raise in the minimum wage in and of itself denies jobs to young people, excludes some young people from the workforce. It's very simple economics. Very simple economics. If you raise the price of something, in this case, unskilled labor, you get less of it. Hey, you raise the price of iPhones, fewer people will buy iPhones. That's just a fact. That's a fact like gravity. If you raise the price of unskilled labor, you get less of it. You also increase the cost of the products made with unskilled labor, products that for the most part, people who are poor are the ones who purchase, so you raise their cost of living for no reason. You increase unemployment among the poor, and you raise their cost of living. Yay for minimum wage. How disgusting is that? So if you really care about people, if you care about young people, if you care about people having jobs, having dignity, taking care of themselves, then you should be an enemy of the minimum wage. The only rational minimum wage is zero. It's none of the government's job. None of the government's business, how much I pay my employees. Indeed, rich people, and I mentioned this last week, rich people often send their kids to do internships. Guess how much those kids get paid? Nothing. Free internships. But we know that for these kids from rich, upper middle class families, getting a job for zero is incredibly valuable. It's the poor kids we don't want to include in that group. God forbid some poor kid will work for $3 an hour, learn a skill, and one day make $100 an hour. No, we want to price him out of the job market completely, institutionalize him into poverty. And the left generally the left, the policies of the left in this country are aimed, some would say these are unintended consequences, but I think they're being too benevolent. They're aimed at institutionalizing people into poverty, to keeping people down, not at helping them. And what's really, really sad is that they have convinced the people that they are keeping down to vote for them, that they are somehow their saviors, when the opposite is the truth. It is those of us who believe in free markets, those of us who want government out of the business of business, out of setting salaries. We are the true beneficiaries of those who want to work, who want to succeed in life, who want to prosper, and who happen to be poor. Young people, what they need is opportunities, maximum opportunities, not equal opportunities. There's no such thing as equal opportunities, not equal outcome. Equal outcome is an evil idea. We'll talk about equality sometime. I've got a book coming out on that topic. We'll talk about it. No, what they really need is maximum opportunities. To have maximum opportunities, what you need is a free market. What you need is no laws restricting wages. You need a minimum wage equal to zero, which, as I said, upper middle class and rich kids, they're willing to work for zero because they value their internship. They get something in return. It's the jobs we deny poor kids that are the real travesty. All right, but there's another cause of youth unemployment, of unemployment, particularly, again, among young people, that is true in Illinois. This is true all across the country. Some states are worse. Some states are better. Illinois, I think you'd all be shocked if I didn't say it was one of the worst. It is one of the worst. You guys in Illinois are special in terms of making your state as inhospitable to business, inhospitable to people who actually want to make a living for themselves as possible. We in California are pretty close behind. You know, we'll match you on a lot of these things, but luckily, some parts of the rest of the country are doing better. But let's talk about a couple of other things that restrict the ability of young people to get jobs and institutionalize them into poverty. Two things I want to talk about today. One is the mismatch between the skills that we provide our young people and what the market actually needs. A mismatch between skills and the demand that companies have for young workers. And where there we have to blame, unequivocally place all the blame on our educational institutions and our educational policy on what public schools do to our kids. Not a pleasant thought at all. And then second is licensing. Licensing. The fact that in the wonderful state of Illinois and California as well, you need a license to be a barber. You need a license to be a sign language interpreter. Now that destroys jobs. It makes those jobs expensive. It keeps barber rates high. So the people already barbers, they want to reduce competition. So yeah, there's a licensing process. Anyway, we're going to get to that. But just think about it. You're young. You could make a little bit of money braiding hair, but you have to spend hours and hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars getting a license. Nah, might as well go on welfare. All right. Licensing and the mismatch of skills. If you look at the want ads today, there are more job openings today in America than ever in American history. More job openings in America today than ever in American history. And yet, we've still got unemployment. Or more importantly, in this country, we've got underemployment. We've got people who would like to work full-time who are working part-time. We've got people who have got a college degree who are working as baristas at Starbucks. People are underemployed. And yet, there are plenty of want ads. Plenty of want ads. And then, of course, our unemployment number is 5.2%, they tell us. But that's not true. That's not true. They're playing with numbers, guys. If they measured unemployment today the way they measured unemployment in the 1970s, unemployment would be 7-8%. The difference is that they don't measure people who have stopped looking, people who've given up, given up because they tried. Probably after the recession hit, they tried to find a job, couldn't find a job, went on welfare and stayed on welfare and are not looking for work. Families maybe would like a two income, but one part, you know, probably the wife is staying home. She'd like a job, but she's given up. They don't count those people. I do. So why is it that those people are not looking for jobs? Why is it that they're unemployed when the more want ads out there for work, for good work, even for high-paying work? And yet these people can't find a job. We'll get to the answer when we come back. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show on AM560, The Answer.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Nikki and Michelle taking a look at traffic. Inbound Edens is 31 minutes. Two Montrose from Lake Cook, 21 if you're heading outbound. You will see some heavy delays inbound on the Kennedys, 52 minutes. Two downtown from O'Hare, 37 on the opposite side. It jams up inbound on the Ike starting at St. Charles. Delays are in pockets all the way to the Circle, 42 minutes to the post from Thorndale, 43. If you're heading outbound, we're still seeing a crash on the right shoulder before Harlem, so take caution approaching that area. It's bumper to bumper inbound on the Stevensons, approaching an hour to Lakeshore Drive from 355, 45 minutes on the flip side. And inbound on the Ryan, that is really heavy at the Stevenson to the Circle, 20 minutes to downtown from 95th, 15 heading outbound. It's 83 degrees and clear. Tonight's low is 72 and rainy. Tomorrow's high is 89 and partly cloudy. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
The issue is one of our reliance on technology.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
We talk about our susceptibility to terrorist attacks.
That's why you have to have a backup plan. That's why you should store cash in your house somewhere. You might want to stock up on water and food. I've prepared myself in ways I'm not ready to disclose here.
Are you going to take off on a spaceship? Are you and your family going to bury yourselves in a time capsule?
If something happens, I will be able to protect myself and my family.
Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5. On AM 560, The Answer.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off because being a teacher, you don't make a whole lot of money.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360 to talk to a certified counselor.
I had heard about Trinity, so I made the call. They took care of all of my credit cards, and now I am completely debt-free.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, stop late fees, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
My name is Anne, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
That's 1-800-758-5360. So,
intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560, The Answer.
If any of you would like to chat about any of these issues, youth unemployment, wage stagnation, licensing laws, minimum wage, regulation of business, any of this stuff, give me a call, 312-642-5600. We love to have callers on this show. 312-642-5600. You can call from anywhere, anytime over the next hour or so, I guess, while the show is going on. Give us a call and we'll chat. All right. Mismatch between skills and market needs. What is going on? Why is it that you have all these want ads? What are the want ads for? What kind of jobs? What kind of jobs do are these ads looking for? These high-level, sophisticated jobs that require tons and tons of education and training, computer programming, computer science. I mean, those jobs exist. And yes, we have a massive shortage of engineers in this country. We do not train enough engineers here. A big part of why jobs are leaving this country has nothing to do with the cost of labor in China. It has to do with the fact that in China, I can hire 15,000 engineers tomorrow. I could even hire 150,000 engineers tomorrow if I needed to. It's so hard to hire an engineer in America because we don't send our kids to study engineering. We don't send our kids to study engineering or programming. There's a massive shortage of engineers and programmers, particularly in computers, in America today. And then, God forbid, we should allow any immigrants in the country. Oh, no, we can't have those. Those guys are evil, tells us Bernie Sanders and what's his name? Donald Trump, anti-immigration pair. They should both be running in the same political party. I don't know why they're in two different parties. All of them hating immigrants. Why don't we allow engineers to come into this country? We have such a shortage. Why is it that we in this country train thousands, tens of thousands of science and engineering graduate students, masters and PhDs, and as soon as they get the diploma, a diploma, by the way, that all of you and me subsidize through our taxes because we're subsidizing their universities. These are public universities that we are paying for. And even if they're private universities, we are paying for it. And as soon as they graduate, we kick them out of the country. God forbid they should stay in this country. I mean, this is so stupid. I mean, I believe we should have a lot more immigration than we do today. But this one is easy, right? Staple a green card to their diploma. They graduate in the STEMs, science, technology. You give them a diploma, certainly if they've got a master's degree or PhD. But we should have more immigrants across the entire board, not just in science and technology. But a lot of those want ads are for science and technology. But what about, you might say, I thought we were talking about youth unemployment and, you know, more kind of poor kids, and they're not going to go into engineering. Well, they could if our public school system was any good. Maybe the right way to approach this, if you've heard my other show on public education, the approach should be, if there wasn't any public education and these kids were actually studying in a private university, in a private high school, sorry, in a private school, then there's no reason many of these inner city kids couldn't be engineers. The only reason they can't be engineers is the rotten state of our public educational system and the fact that the most rotten of all public education schools are in the inner cities. What they need is to be privatized. What we need is competition and innovation in those schools. And then we could have some engineers. Yeah, listen to a few weeks ago, I did a show. You can catch it on iTunes. I did a show for AM560. The answer on the evil of public education and why it should be privatized and why the cost of education would actually plummet. Think about it. The Catholic Church educates a kid in the city of Chicago for $7,500, the city of Chicago educates a kid a lot lower standard, a lot worse education. For $15,000, you could, if you just sent the kids to the Catholic Church, paid them $7,500, the state would save half, or the city would save half of its educational budget. Now, I'm not advocate for Catholic schools. I would like to see a lot of secular private schools. But my point is, you can educate a kid in America for a lot less than what our government spends on it and get a far, 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 far better product than we do today. Anyway, so yes, we should be encouraging these young kids to go and study engineering, Study programming. You don't even have to go to college to study programs. Programming. You can do that in high school. And there are plenty of ways to do that after high school. But first, we need to give these kids the confidence they can achieve it. We need to give them the math and science skills so that they can do it. And again, our public educational system, our teacher unions, our bureaucrats, our administrators, our governor, our mayor are failing our kids. And that's why we have such high youth unemployment. And that's why these kids in particular wages are stagnating around zero, because they're not getting the education necessary to make them high earners. But there are other jobs. A lot of the jobs that are being advertised and are not being filled are jobs that do not require massive education. A lot of the jobs that are going unfilled are jobs like welders. Welders are making a lot of money. Machine operators. Why aren't our kids going to become welders or machine operators? Skilled labor, but not the kind of skills where you need a college degree necessarily for. It used to be in the old days. Now I'm getting old, so I talk about the old days. Right? In the old days, I think in America, now I'm an immigrant to this country. I guess some of you don't know this, but I immigrated to here from Israel. So I don't know how America was in the old times, but even in Israel, we had trade schools. Some kids, instead of going to regular high school, went to trade school. They made a choice. And that choice involved learning skills like welding, like machine operation, like construction. We don't need more construction workers in this country. We've got plenty of those. But the manufacturing kind of jobs. The jobs exist. We can't fill them because we don't train kids to do those jobs. We don't believe in trade schools. Everybody needs to study, I don't know, whatever we study in high school. Everybody needs exactly the same education. We can't treat people differently. So we have kids who are not interested in English, studying English. We have kids not interested in studying math. Now, everybody should study math and English up to high school. But you know what? At some point, they should be allowed to choose. And we should be offering trade schools out there, because these jobs are going unfilled and these jobs pay good wages, way higher than minimum wage. But we've demeaned these jobs. We believe everybody should go to college, even if it's to study, I don't know, some useless topic. Everybody needs to go to college. We have way too many college kids. Not everybody needs to go to college, particularly given the quality of the college education you get today, where you don't learn really anything. You learn that there's nothing to learn. You learn that reality doesn't exist. You learn that capitalism sucks. You learn bad stuff. You learn stuff that's not helpful if you want to be productive, if you want to be achieve something with your life, if you want to make something with your life. You learn very little. So if anything, we have too many kids going to college. And we don't have any kids, or very few kids, going to trade schools. And we have all these jobs. You know, manufacturing jobs move overseas to a large extent because nobody will take those jobs in America. It's not easy if you're a businessman to take jobs overseas. Their transportation costs, their legal costs, there's dealing with people in a different culture, in a different language. They're often less productive than Americans can be. We just don't produce the people with the skill set. So we need major reform in this country. The way we think about the problem needs to change. Our respect for these kind of jobs needs to change. But fundamentally, our educational system needs to change. It needs to be driven by market needs, not by the wishes and whims of our intellectuals. It needs to be driven by the market needs, by where the jobs are, and where the students, what their real interests are. We'll be right back after this short break.
The first Republican debate of the 2016 campaign season happens on Thursday, August 6th in Cleveland, Ohio.
I'll come early. I'm ready to debate.
And the only place you'll hear it live on the radio is right here on AM 560, The Answer.
I'm embarrassed for those who did not come.
Catch this special broadcast presented by Saul Z and the Z Realty Team beginning at 8 p.m. on August 6th, following a special extended broadcast of The Joe Walsh Show.
You shouldn't have said this. You shouldn't have said that.
Only on AM 560.
We've come to take our country back.
The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. Governor Jerry Brown declares a state of emergency as nearly two dozen wildfires burn up much of California. What's been dubbed the Frog Fire in Modoc National Forest in the north has grown to nearly 2,000 acres, but officials don't think evacuations are necessary.
The fires in California where you're hearing about evacuations are pretty far removed from where we are and in a different region with different burning characteristics and whatnot. You know, this area is much more sparsely populated. And no, there are not evacuation notices in place at this time.
Public Affairs Officer Ken Sandusky. Due to the uproar over the killing of Cecil the Lion by an American dentist in Zimbabwe, the hunting of several species of big game has been suspended.
Hunting of lions, leopards, and elephants in areas outside Hwange National Parks has been suspended with immediate effect.
Emmanuel Fundir is the president of Savari Operations Association. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Nikia Nichelle, taking a look at traffic. Inbound Edens is 32 minutes to Montrose from Lake Cook. Heading outbound's flowing freely, only 19 minutes there. 51 minutes will get you to downtown from O'Hare. Inbound on the Kennedy, 37 on the outbound side. Coming inbound on the Ike has a slow stretch at St. Charles. Then delays are in pockets all the way to the circle. 41 to the post from Thorndale, 42 on the outbound side. Also before Harlem, still seeing a crash on the right shoulder. There's stop-and-go traffic inbound on the Stevenson at Harlem to pass Kedzie, 47 minutes. Two Lakeshore Drive from 355, 44 on the flip side. Northbound on 55 is now jammed at Route 53 because of an earlier crash. The southbound side has no delays. It's 83 degrees and clear. Tonight's low is 72 and rainy. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Meet your fellow Ayn Rand admirers from around the country for an evening celebrating the ideas of Atlas Shrugged. Join them on the evening of September 29th at the St. Regis Hotel in Manhattan for the 7th annual Atlas Shrugged Revolution Benefit Dinner and Live Auction. More than five decades after its publication, Atlas Shrugged continues to influence millions of people, and each year thousands more are introduced to and forever changed by Ayn Rand's magnum opus. Find out why and how the Ayn Rand Institute is promoting Rand's ideas throughout the United States and around the world. You'll be supporting the work of the Ayn Rand Institute to encourage even more young people to read and study Ayn Rand's novels in the years ahead. Visit online at aynrand.org/NYC or call us toll-free at 800-365-6552, extension 204. Seating is limited, so make sure to call or go online. That's aynrand.org/NYC or call 800-365-6552, extension 204.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit aynrand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to aynrand.org today.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Are you willing to pay more for life insurance than you should? Well, did you know you could save as much as 70% on term life insurance? Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for AIG Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their most affordable rates on term life insurance products. And I mean affordable. we could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. Call 1-800-941-9366. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how much we could save you. It only takes 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%, and the call is absolutely free. Call 1-800-941-9366. That's 1-800-941-9366.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So somebody out there must be disagreeing with me. Come on, call in 312-642-5600. I guess if I really wanted to really get people excited, I'd have to be talking about Cecil the Lion or something, right? I mean, that's what's important. Tell with youth unemployment, tell with licensing laws or our public educational, rotten public educational system. What's really got America all excited is somebody shot Cecil. Anyway. If you want to talk about Cecil, call me up. I've got some views about Cecil, but I love lions. But call me up to talk about Cecil if you want. All right, so we have a massive mismatch of what students coming out of our high schools or not coming out of our high schools, as the case may be for many, and even students coming out of universities. The fact that so many university graduates are working at baristas at Starbucks suggests that there is a massive failure here. Now, most people would call this a market failure. Look, there's a market in education, and there's a market for jobs, and they're not being matched. But of course, market failures, in my view, don't really exist. What this is, like all market failure, is a government failure. The government runs our schools, doesn't educate our kids with anything useful that they can actually take and make a living at. And the government manages basically the kind of things like the minimum wage and, as we'll get to in a minute, licensing, which restricts our young entrepreneurs from starting their own businesses. So let's talk about licensing. This is, to me, one of the most unbelievable things. I mean, you could argue maybe minimum wage can get a little technical, although, as I said, this is minimum wage is Econ 101. It's one of the easiest concepts in economics to get. But licensing is simpler, because licensing, you don't even have to take a course in economics to understand the evil of licensing. Particularly when it comes to professions like cutting hair or doing nail polish, nail salons. So in Illinois, because of the Barber Cosmology, Aesthetics, Hair Braiding, and Nail Technology Act of 1985, what a mouthful. Because of that, you need not only to take a licensing exam and pay a fee, already something that would discourage a young person from going into this profession, a profession perfect for young people because it doesn't require, perfect for young people who don't have a great education because it doesn't require that much of an education, that many skills, something you can learn as an apprentice on the job. Not only do you have to take a licensing exam and fees, But you have to be trained in a barber or cosmology school for no less than 1,500, say that again, 1,500 hours that last 9 months. How do you make a living during those 9 months? And the tuition is $10,000 to $20,000. I mean, this is insane. It's absolutely insane. And for anybody to tell me they care about inner city youth or youth unemployment and advocate for licensing like this, they're lying through their teeth. If you disagree with me, call 312-642-5600. Let's see you. I want to see somebody present the case for licensing barbers, because God forbid if they don't get licensed, they might give you a bad haircut. We need the state to protect us from bad haircuts. Who knows what would happen if the state did not regulate haircuts. There's even a state board that controls entry into the hair-related professions. It's called the Barber, Cosmology, Aesthetics, Hair Braiding, and Nail Technology Board. It's made up of people in the industry who already have jobs and who use this board to keep new people out so that they can raise their prices and they can have a protected job and they don't have competition. Now, a lot of this info I'm getting from a paper from the Illinois Policy Institute, which I recommend. I recommend the work of the Illinois Policy Institute. They do a lot of good things. This is from Brian Jackson Green, who did some research into these regulations on barbers, sign language interpreters, right? We've got a whole bill that regulates sign language interpreters, and in the last one that he mentions in this article we get to in a minute. But there's a famous story about hair braiding, and after the break, we're going to take a call from Mike, who agrees with me on minimum wage. But you know what I really like is people who disagree with me. So if you out there disagree with me, call in, let me know. I want somebody, anybody from anywhere, preferably with a PhD in economics, to defend, or a barber. How about somebody who's in the profession to defend licensing laws? Please. Now, by the way, just for full thing, I'm against all licensing laws, all of them, including for doctors and nurses. And we can talk about that sometime. But certainly for barbers and sign language interpreters. We live in a world of Uber where you rate the driver. And by the way, the driver rates you. We live in a world of Yelp. You get a bad haircut, give the barber a low rating on Yelp, and nobody else will go there. We can take care of ourselves. We can evaluate. We don't need paternalistic government telling us which barbers to use and which barbers not to use. Be right back. You're listening to Yaron Brook Show.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Nikki and Michelle taking a look at traffic. Inbound on the Edens is congested at Niles Center to Montrose. A half an hour to Montrose from Lake Cook. Heading outbound's only 19 minutes. Expect a 47-minute trip to downtown from O'Hare. Coming inbound on the Kennedy, those delays are not letting up. Heading outbound's at 37 minutes. You will see some very heavy traffic inbound on the Ike starting at St. Charles. Delays are in pockets all the way to the Circle, 43 to the Post from Thorndale, 39 on the opposite side. Inbound Stevenson's 43 minutes to Lakeshore Drive from 355, 37 going outbound. Now, due to an earlier crash, northbound on 55, that's jammed at Route 53, but the opposite side's flowing freely. And inbound on the Ryan stop and go at the Stevenson. It's 83 degrees and clear. Tonight's low is 72. Tomorrow's high is 89. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AynRand.org/support.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off because being a teacher, you don't make a whole lot of money.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360 to talk to a certified counselor.
I had heard about Trinity, so I made the call. They took care of all of my credit cards, and now I am completely debt-free.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, stop late fees, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
My name is Ann, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
That's 1-800-758-5360.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
Hey, if any of you are interested in the kind of stuff that we cover on this show, if you're interested in this point of view, check out AynRand.org, AynRand.org. You can also follow me on Twitter, Yaron Brook, YaronBrook. And on Facebook, like me on Facebook, same name on Facebook. So you got AynRand.org, Yaron Brook, Twitter, Facebook. And if you value this show and you want to see it continue and you want to hear this voice on your radio station, think about clicking the support button on the Ayn Rand Institute website and donating a few dollars to keep this show on the air. Now we're gonna go to Mike, who wants to talk about minimum wage. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Yaron. I just want to see what your opinion was on this. As first order of government, do you think it would be a good idea for them to get rid of the minimum wage as a first order of government?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the first things I would do if I were ever elected, a president of the United States, which would never, ever happen, and I'd probably resign if I was elected, but it would be to eliminate the minimum wage. I think it's an evil law. It's a destructive law. It hurts the people least able to cope and the people who most need a job. So among many, many things that I would do in that first bill that I would pass, I would get rid of minimum wage. I would get rid of licensing requirements, certainly for these ridiculous jobs. But I would do a lot more to deregulate or eliminate regulations from the economy. I think if we really care about the economy.
The wall we have between Mexico and the U.S., I mean, we wouldn't need Donald Trump to build a better wall. We'd want to tear that wall down because we could use every single immigrant from there and South America to compete against Asia and the rest of the world.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I don't view it as competition. We'd need all those people so that we could have the kind of increasing in standard of living that every country that allows for free markets and for immigration to have. I mean, think about America in the 19th century. Fastest economic growth in human history, while it absorbed millions of poor, ignorant immigrants who came from Europe, your ancestors, many of the listeners' ancestors. But we had free markets. We had freedom. And as a consequence, we needed all those workers to sustain the dramatic increase in standard of living. We'd all benefit. And I agree with you completely about the wall. I mean, building a wall is an absurdity. It is ridiculous.
I think
it's motivated by xenophobia. It's not motivated by any economic concerns. Immigrants raise our standard of living. They don't lower our standard of living.
But we could use those immigrants.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Be good for our economy. And, of course, be good for the immigrants.
Yeah, and people always think that if we allowed more immigrants into the country, we'd get mostly low-wage immigrants. But that's just not true. The fact is that if you made immigration easy into this country, you would get the best, the smartest, the most entrepreneurial people in Europe, in Scandinavia, in Russia, in China, in Vietnam, in Latin America, in Mexico. They would come here, and they would create jobs almost immediately. Programmers, engineers, scientists would run into this country. They're not going to come here illegally because they have other options. But if you made it legal, we would bring in the most educated, smartest immigrant population in human history.
Mm-hmm. And we're turning them away as they graduate from our schools here. They go back to...
We throw them out. It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
It's just unbelievable.
I remember when I was a kid, my newspaper was delivered by kids. And now it's delivered by...
Well, you're not allowed to do that. That's child labor, and you have to pay them $10 an hour. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate your call. And yes, there's a lot of work that we need to do in order to get America to where it needs to be in terms of the requirements of freedom. We are far, far away from there right now. But we will get there. We will get there. Part of why I do this show is to try to move the needle, slowly push and push and push and provide the ideas, provide the inspiration, provide you with material to think about. But hopefully some of you are being convinced. Hopefully some of you are being moved. And if you're not, you're wrong. So, it's still time to call in 312-642-5600. Licensing laws. This blew me away when I read this. So in the city of Chicago, it is so hard to start a business. So many forms, so complicated, so bureaucratic, that people hire what are called expediters, people who expedite your application to start a business in Chicago. Now, why is it the business of Chicago that you're starting a business? Why do you need to fill all the forms and get their permission? I don't know. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. Imagine if all you had to do to start a business was one piece of paper, simple, submit to the office and start the business immediately upon submission. How many more businesses would we have? How many more jobs? How many more opportunities for young people, for old people, for middle-aged people? How much wealthier would we all be if it was easy, simple, one pager, 10 minute to start a business? But no, here in Chicago, you need expediters to do it. Now, the funny thing is, these expediters need a license. So they need to show the state that they have liability insurance covering them for $300,000. They have to pay a license fee. They have to go through background checks and fingerprints. God forbid that you find an expediter who might have a criminal background. And it takes 32 days to start a professional service business. So even an expediter can't start for 32 days. Unbelievable. This is how you destroy jobs. This is how you destroy an economy, and we're getting really good at it.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Rourke, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Rourke, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today in Amazon.com.
It's the Animal Stories News Team. Uncle Air.
And little Tommy.
Here's a chance for you to win a shiny new dive.
Oh, good.
In the event of an emergency and you and your pet iguana have to evacuate, what's the quick way to carry your reptile out of the house? You have 5 seconds.
Okay, let's see. If you have an iguana, I guess I'd carry...
Oh, I'm sorry. Your time's up.
What?
You stick your lizard in a pillowcase or a cloth sack.
I was going to say that.
Get more pet tips at ready.illinois.gov.
Sponsored by the Illinois Emergency Management Agency.
Secure Retirement Radio. With Raj Shah, Chicago's safe money strategist.
There are people out there that do it themselves, and it's been working for the last 6-7 years. You know why? Because the market's been going up. When the market's not doing great, then what do? Hang in there. You can use that strategy when you're about 35, 40 years old. Not when you're 55 or 60. Hang in there just doesn't work.
Join Raj Shah for Secure Retirement Radio, Sundays at 7 a.m. here on AM 560, The Answer.
Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
Do you know that in the state of Illinois, to be a preschool teacher, you have to pass 3 exams? Three exams. The only one of 3 states in the nation to have this. And By the way, the best work on this issue of licensing has been done by the Institute for Justice, which has actually taken many of these licensing laws to courts and tried to overturn them, certainly exposed them. One of the most famous cases was around braiding and to braid hair. This girl needed a license, and the Institute for Justice took her case and ultimately had the law overturned. But she had to spend thousands of hours, doodles of dollars in order to get a braiding license. And then when she got the license and she started a store and she was going to hire more people, then she had to be licensed as a salon, which required, as a school. She had to be licensed as a cosmology school because she was going to train other braiders. And it just goes on and on and on. Think about the amount of work, amount of productivity that we are destroying in this country because of these things. And this is just part of a much broader point. The reason this country is growing so slowly, the reason wages are stagnating, and wages are stagnating, particularly since the 08 recession, is because of the massive burden of regulations that we have placed on American businesses, on the ability to open a business, the ability to start a business, but on the ability to run a business. In particular, we are destroying our banking system by over-regulating it, by preventing the allocation of capital to new businesses. Last year, the first year in decades, that in the United States of America, more businesses went bankrupt than what started. And that's primarily not because bankruptcies were up, but because startups were down. This is the land of entrepreneurship, the land of opportunity created by those entrepreneurs. We are destroying entrepreneurship in this country. And therefore, we are destroying opportunity in this country. We will not grow economically. Our standard of living will not rise. Our young will not get jobs. Our quality of life will not improve if we do not stop regulating our most productive members of our society. If we don't stop controlling the allocation of capital. If we make it difficult to start a business in this country, that's the equivalent of destroying businesses, destroying jobs. But it's not just starting a business. It's running a business, managing a business, managing employees. The labor laws in this country are out of control. Obamacare has just made it much, much worse. Every aspect of a business today is regulated. Think about what I just told you about hair braiding and salons and expediters and so on. That's nothing as compared to if you have a more sophisticated profession, if you're running a much larger business. Every aspect of what you do is controlled, regulated. We need in this country a revolution. A revolution that shrugs off the state as controlling our lives, controlling our businesses, controlling our employment and our employees. We need freedom. Freedom from government control, government regulation. We need a real free market. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. See you next week.
This has been the Ron Brooks Show with your radical for capitalism host, Ron Brooks. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Ron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
Meet your fellow Ayn Rand admirers from around the country for an evening celebrating the ideas of Atlas Shrugged. Join them on the evening of September 29th at the St. Regis Hotel in Manhattan for the 7th Annual Atlas Shrugged Revolution Benefit Dinner and Live Auction. More than 5 decades after its publication, Atlas Shrugged continues to influence millions of people, and each year